Hello, friend. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast, and I hope you hear something truly, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, something that edifies, equips, enlightens, encourages, and then gently but firmly gets you out there into the marketplace of ideas. I so appreciate your taking the time to listen. But before you start the broadcast, let me just take a moment and explain that this month's truth tool is called SEEK, S-E-E-K, written by my friend David Robertson, my favorite Scottish apologist who is currently serving the Lord in Australia. He comes and visits with us once a month. And he wrote a book called Ask, and now he's written a follow-up book called Seek, Real Word Answers to Real World Questions. And so he literally goes through a whole series of questions like, is there ever a good lie? Or does the Bible have mistakes? Or what does the Bible say about climate change? Or what's the difference between capitalism and communism? And the list goes on and on and on. So it is a fabulous reference book that I know you're going to want to put in your legacy library. So if you'd like a copy of Seek, and we are listener-supported radio, I'd love to send one to you when you give a gift of any amount to support In the Market with Janet Parshall. Simply call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, and offer a gift of any amount. We'll send you a copy of David's book, Seek. Or if you'd rather do it online, go to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Scroll to the bottom of the page. There's the cover. It has a brain on the cover, so you can't miss it. Click on the cover of the book, make your gift right through the website, and we'll send you a copy of Seek by David Robertson. Great tool to have, one of those important little volumes in your ready reference library, and I know you're going to be blessed. By the way, when you're on the website, you might want to consider being a Parshall partner. Those are people who give every single month at a level of their own choosing. They always get whatever the truth tool is that particular month. And in addition to that, they get a newsletter that contains an audio piece from me as well. So Parshall partner or just this month's truth tool, either way, it helps us financially to keep moving forward. 877-JANET-58, 877-JANET-58, or online at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Now please, enjoy the broadcast.
Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
So Americans worshiping government over God.
Extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
This
Hi, friends. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. I am absolutely thrilled we are going to spend the hour together because guess what? We're going to take up that ugly topic one more time. I made a promise to you. I'm going to keep that promise as long as those phone lines keep ringing. As long as there are people out there who are hurting and think that they're not being heard, we're going to keep talking about the subject of narcissism. And we are going to open the phone lines this hour so that you can ask any question, questions only, any question on the topic of narcissism. And there are a lot of questions, because quite honestly, if you're not a professional like our precious friend Laurel Slade Wagner, then you don't know the red flags, you don't know the signs, you don't know the symptoms. And boy, so many of the people who are caught in these relationships where the other spouse is a narcissist, you just beat yourself up terribly. Oh, I need to change. I'm doing something wrong. He's not mad. I'm mad. She's not wrong. I'm wrong. And it just becomes this ugly cycle of self-condemnation. And the Bible says, now therefore, and whenever the word therefore is there, it's there for a reason. Now therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that voice of the accuser, loser, failure, bad, all that stuff, that never comes from God. You know, I spent most of the last weekend thinking about God's love. And I have to tell you, honestly, I finally gave up and I said to the Lord, how do you begin with a mere mortal's perspective to comprehend the utterly incomprehensible? I mean, Romans tells me that the width and depth and breadth and love of God is just so amazing and we can never be separated from us. By the way, that verse that talks about now, therefore, there's no condemnation, those are the bookends of Romans 8. It begins and ends with that. And yet the reality is, how do you begin to understand a God who loves us so much that he literally sent his son to take on the sins of the world while we were yet sinners? Not because we became good and all cleaned up and all tidied up. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If that doesn't take your breath away, wake up, sleeper. These are unbelievable, almost incomprehensible concepts that are true, just as true as the sun rose in the east and will set in the west this evening. So in the midst of all of that, we are east of Eden, not yet in glory. And so we've got some stuff we have to deal with, a lot of junk we have to deal with in this short little pilgrim's progress on which every one of us right now is sojourning. And so we're going to have those high moments. We're going to have those low moments. We're going to have those times when we think we're absolutely on our own, that God has turned his back on us, and that we must be the most abject failure ever known to walk planet Earth. And sometimes all of that comes from a very bad sickness, a brokenness in the mind and the body and the spirit that's called narcissism. And so we talk about it here, and we give you a chance to ask questions because it's not well understood. It's not easily recognized both by people who surround you, but sometimes by you yourself. So we want you to get your questions answered. 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. What a joy again to have Laurel Slade Wagner back on, board certified professional Christian counselor, a licensed mental health counselor, and licensed marriage and family therapist. She's been in the state of Florida. She's got a private practice there close to 2 decades. And she's passionate about this subject. And I have the liberty to say this without revealing anything private about Laurel's life. Not only is she an expert in this area when it comes to counseling, but she's lived it. She was the child of narcissists, married at one point to a narcissist. And I don't know about you, but that's somebody I want to connect with. I want to deal with a wounded comforter. Someone who can say, in the colloquialism that we often use, been there, done that. Well, she has, believe me. So it isn't just an academician's approach in her counseling. It's someone who knows what that wounding is like, someone who knows what it means to be gaslit, to be manipulated, and to be told on a regular basis, it's all your fault. And to live with someone who literally sucks the air out of the room, because this is not just selfishness. So her passion not only plays itself out in her professional counseling, but also in her books. Don't Let Their Crazy Make You Crazy, How to Stay Sane and Strong When the Narcissist in Your Life is Trying to Control or Abuse You. And the companion book, Don't Let Their Crazy Make Your Kids Crazy, How to Shield Your Children from Their Narcissistic Parents' Growth and Manipulation. And the upcoming book that I can't wait to talk about when it's completed is Crazy Talk: How to Respond When the Narcissist in Your Life is Being Demanding, Dismissive, or Degrading. By the way, I've got a link to Laurel's website. If you want to talk to her directly, you can set something up privately, personally with her. You can go through the website. I made it easy for you. It's right there. She also has a podcast, which is a great free resource wherever podcasts can be found. Help, I Have a Narcissist in My Life, and she's everywhere on social media. So again, questions only this hour, 877-548-3675. Laurel, the warmest of welcomes. Already the phone lines are starting to light up, and I want to ask just a couple of questions, because I made the statement that sometimes it's very hard to identify exactly what the narcissist is doing in your life, and there are red flags that if we can avoid them, it'll dial down the controversy, but it'll also help us to start thinking, wait a minute, this is not about me. Whatever the next words are that come out of his or her mouth, this is not about me. I have to be able to understand and negotiate. So one of them is the declaration from the person who's pathologically a narcissist is to say over and over again, you're overreacting. In other words, they invalidate your feelings, your concerns. How does that fit into the world of the narcissist? And why is that a common red flag?
Well, thank you so much for having me back on, Janet. I can't begin to tell you how many people email me and tell me, I heard you on Janet Parshall, and my friend emailed me and said, turn it on or listen to the podcast. It's all about narcissism, because people aren't willing to talk about this a lot in the church. They don't want to address it. And so I think two of the big red flags, if you're suspecting you're in a relationship with someone who's clinically narcissistic or biblically foolish, to use Bible language, is there's this overwhelming presence of duplicity and hypocrisy. So narcissists, they're often very, very charming in the beginning, and they project this false self out into the world. And so a lot of people think they're wonderful. They think they're very loving and doting. But behind closed doors, it's a very different story. And we can certainly dive into this after the break. I hear the music.
Thank you, Laurel. I so appreciate your understanding of the dynamics here. Yes, I wanted to pick up on this. And we are having people who are getting online with their questions. I'll give you that number again, friends. 877-548-3675. But behind closed doors is a very important phrase that Laurel just used. And that's where you live. And that's why nobody knows what's really going on behind those closed doors. So we'll pick up on some of those red flags with Laurel Slade Wagner right after this. The Bible has the answers to questions being asked by the world, questions about abortion and heaven and even climate change. That's why I've chosen Seek as this month's truth tool. Discover how the Bible offers real word answers to real world questions. Ask for your copy of Seek when you give a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, or go to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. We're visiting with Laurel Slade Wagner. She is a professional Christian counselor. She has a private practice in Florida. And one of her areas of expertise and emphasis is the subject of narcissistic personality disorder. And again, the lines always light up as they do when Laurel comes. 877-548-3675. But before I go to the phones, I do want to take just a couple of moments to talk about some of the red flags, because I think those of you who are in this kind of a relationship, when you recognize what these red flags are, you'll stop the self-flagellation. You know what I mean by that? In other words, whipping yourself on your own back because you must be doing something horrible. And so Laurel made the statement just before the break, which was the beginning of real insightful talking to us, that the person can be just as charming can be outside. And that's part of the problem. People go, what him? What her? I never see that. And then there's the person behind the closed door. So I asked you before about the red flag of the typical proclamation that says you're overreacting, a way of dismissing, deflecting, or invalidating the recipient's concerns. Why does the narcissist do that, and how do we respond?
They are not capable. People who are biblically foolish or narcissistic, they are not capable of authentic empathy. And that's one of the diagnostic criteria is they treat people with a lack of empathy. They have a sense of entitlement. So they don't see people as people. They see people as objects to feed their entitlement, to get what they want, to continue their control. So in a healthy relationship, there's a lot of reciprocity. There's reciprocity of truthfulness, there's reciprocity of effort, there's reciprocity of respect for time and priorities and feelings. That's where the empathy comes in. There's a mutual ability to repent, and there's all this giving and taking and listening and growing taking place in a healthy relationship. With someone who's narcissistic, there is not reciprocity. There's an increased imbalance of power and control and respect and effort and all of those things I just listed. So in a typical relational pattern with a narcissist, at the beginning, they could be very charming and wooing, all that love bombing. They might mirror back to you what you say as far as what you like and what you value, and they say they do too. But then once the relationship starts to deepen and you spend more time with someone who's narcissistic, there's these big shifts. There's they no longer put that effort in. They no longer respect your differences. They start to kind of just be themselves. And then if you confront them or tell them no, that's when you're going to get a lot of that narcissistic behavior, that blame shifting. And what you were describing is classic gaslighting, telling you that you're too sensitive, you're too needy, you're making a big deal out of nothing. And you start to just feel so diminished. So in the beginning, you might feel like you're put up on a pedestal. There's this idealization going on. Then it shifts over to the diminishment. And that's where you were talking about also the there is no condemnation in Christ. So if you're starting to feel like you're condemned, like you're questioning your sanity, questioning your strength, then you might want to get some other eyes on this, start to talk about some of these dynamics that are happening. And I really want pastors and Christian counselors to understand just how much duplicity and hypocrisy is going on behind closed doors, and give these victims a listening ear and a safe place to go to. Because what happens is they go to a Christian counselor or a pastor who says, well, just try to love this person more, or be kind. That's just feeding the entitlement, and that's showing the narcissist that he or she can continue to abuse behind those closed doors. It's just this awful thing that happens, and it's just heartbreaking. So if you're feeling consistently afraid, more and more afraid of the narcissistic person's reactions, if you're feeling more consistently guilty for having your wants or needs or desires. And you're getting a lot of that gaslighting, you're getting a lot of blame shifting. And if you're constantly having to strive to prove your correctness or your rationale or your goodness, or even the pain that you're in, or your reputation or your sanity or your worth, then you do need to get other eyes on it so that this gross imbalance of power and lack of respect, that it needs to be changed so that mm-hmm. there's a lot more of that reciprocity going on in the relationship. And if that narcissistic person doesn't want to do that and self-reflect and self-correct, that's the definition of biblical foolishness. And that's where you start employing God's instruction, like Matthew 18:15-17, that we talk about a lot, where, you know, we first confront them, then we bring the witnesses, then we bring the church into it, and then we have to utilize that redemptive tool of separation if we have to, if someone absolutely has that cognitive rigidity, that foolishness, and will not self-reflect and self-correct.
Just as a follow-up for a coping skill, because it would seem to me that the propensity of the person receiving the declaration, you're overreacting, would be that you start doubting yourself, you start doubting your feelings, mm-hmm. and you would withdraw your complaint. If you're yes. hearing that accusation, you're overreacting, give us a coping skill. How does one respond?
Say you can respond with some validation of the circumstance. Like, for example, I've clearly upset you, right? That's truthful. And then say, well, we're not seeing things from the same perspective. If you need to take a few minutes or you need to take a few hours to recollect yourself, to pray, to get some validation, then you can go back and you can tackle that subject where at whatever you were disagreeing on. So I kind of follow Titus 3:10-ish, I think it is. Sometimes I forget the addresses. The older I get, the more biblical addresses I forget. But the concept is, do not get into divisive arguments with someone who was foolish. You warn them once, warn them twice, and you separate yourself from them. So you make two attempts to try to solve that problem, and then you say, this is pointless, this is futile, it's not going anywhere, and that's where you try to get witnesses and you try a different approach, but you don't keep going at them with the same thing, because it's just inviting more rejection and abuse on yourself.
Exactly. Wow. All right, when we come back, it's the phones, 877-548-3675. Any question you have on narcissism, 877-548-3675. Our guest, Laurel Slade Wagner. We're going to hear what you have to say right after this. Laurel Slade Wagner is with us. This good woman has been practicing in Florida for close to two decades, by the way, as a board-certified professional Christian counselor with a focus on narcissistic personality disorder. And as is the case every time Laurel comes, every line is lit. So when you hear me say goodbye, please call immediately, because that means for that moment at least we have an open line. 877-548-3675. Wendy, I thank you for your patience. Welcome from Tennessee, and your question for Laurel, please.
Hi, thank you. My question is, how do you avoid raising a child into narcissism? I mean, what do you avoid in doing that?
That's such a great question, Wendy. And that, a lot of that is addressed in the book I wrote, Don't Let Their Crazy Make Your Kids Crazy. So that book is really a lot of different counseling sessions that I had when I was seeing a lot of children and adolescents. And so you want to teach them about what I was talking about earlier, the dynamics of a healthy relationship, all that mutual stuff, that mutual honesty, mutual effort, mutual respect for time and feelings and priorities, and then teach them about that mutual ability to be repentant, to look inward and to be able to say, I don't want to be like that anymore, and I want to be a different person. And so you teach your children first and foremost, what healthy relating is, so that they can recognize what healthy relating is not, what it, where there's those imbalances. And you start to talk to them in age-appropriate ways, use examples from their life, like when they're playing on the playground with their friends, and just educate them on what healthy relating is. Then you want to also teach them who they are. Who did God create them to be? Who are they? This is identity training. You're trying to get them to understand that God made each of us precious and purposed. And so you want to notice who they are, what their gifts are, what their strengths are, what their vulnerabilities are. And you want to notice that, and you want to nurture that, and you want to respect that. And that gives them this foundation. So then if they're faced with anyone later in their life that is treating them with an imbalance of that power and respect and effort, they're going to recognize it. They're going to realize, wait a minute, I'm a precious person here. I wasn't created to be treated like this. So if they get, let's say they get bullied at school, or someone's not being kind to them, they don't do what Janet was talking about earlier, where they turn against themselves. They will say, wait a minute, that behavior is, there's something wrong with that person's behavior. They won't say, oh, there's something wrong with me. So you're kind of giving them this armor around their heart, so that they know who they are. They know how to not only receive healthy relating, but they know how to treat other people. You teach them about concepts of empathy and active listening. You teach them about triangulation, which is a big one because there's lots of drama around. So you teach them about healthy, respectful people don't gossip about other people. If they have a problem with somebody, they go to them directly, just like the Bible talks about. We speak the truth in love. We talk to people about our problems, and healthy people will respond to that, and they'll prioritize the relationship over being right. So you just start to teach them all these different skills, these different relational dynamics, and that will help neutralize the opportunity for them to become narcissistic.
Thank you. Excuse me, Wendy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the question and your being with us. 877-548-3675. Scott, you're in Iowa. Welcome, and your question now, please.
My question is narcissism a learned behavior? And if so, does it manifest itself as a child or as a young adult? Or that's my question.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great question, Scott, because I'll have people reach out to me and say, I have a 7-year-old and I think she's narcissistic. But children are not narcissistic. Well, they are narcissistic, but it's age appropriate narcissism. So it's our job as parents to teach them about how God wants us to relate to each other. So in order for someone to receive a diagnosis of narcissistic personality disorder, they have to be an adult. So, teenagers are also very self-focused, treat people with a lack of empathy. They're just trying to individuate and figure out how the world works and how they fit into the world. And so we can't give someone who's a teenager a diagnosis of narcissistic personality disorder. But what happens as an adult is, you asked if it was a learned behavior. If we don't teach our children and our teenagers about all these different ways of relating and what God says about their identity, I tell people, don't tell your children that they're special. Tell them that they're valuable, because you don't, because part of narcissism is they think that they're special. Rules don't apply to them. And so parents sometimes will, they'll give them a trophy for everything, or they will not confront them on their behavior. And so what happens is, yes, that behavior is learned, and they know that they're rewarded for it. So they continue it over and over, and they get better at being narcissistic. So yes, there is a learning component to that. And we can talk more about it after the break. Wow.
Thanks so much, Scott. I appreciate your being with us. 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675. Laurel Slade Wagner is with us. Our topic this hour is narcissism. And I'll tell you, I let Scott's line open up and another caller came in. This is why Laurel and I keep having these conversations. I hope you're encouraged and I hope you get some practical tools on how to press on. Back after this. If what you hear on In the Market with Janet Parshall encourages you, enlightens you, engages you, and equips you, I want to ask you to become a Parshall Partner today. This program depends on the faithful and ongoing support of listeners just like you. By supporting this program on a regular, ongoing, monthly basis, you'll receive several benefits that only my partners receive. So please call today, 877-JANET-58, or go online to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. We're visiting with Laurel Slade Wagner, board-certified professional Christian counselor, licensed mental health counselor, licensed marriage and family therapist, all within the state of Florida, where she's had a private practice for close to 20 years. And our topic is narcissism. That is an area of expertise for Laurel. And every line is lit, which is why we do this on a regular basis. We ended with your telling our friend Scott in Iowa that there is a learning component to this. So on that note, if I may, before you finish your question, your answer, Laurel, let me get Lynette's question in on this from Ohio, because I think it has some forbearance on what you're going to say. So Lynette, welcome, and your question for Laurel, please.
Yes, it is. How does narcissism develop in children, and can it be recognized?
Yes, and that does tie into what Scott was saying. So when people who struggle with narcissistic personality disorder are children, I say that they're indulged and they're abandoned at the same time. So what happens is maybe they're not told no, maybe they're affirmed for everything, and then the abandoning part comes where maybe they're not nurtured. So there's two different things going on. They can either be completely indulged, and there's a lot of prosperity of affirmation. They're given everything that they want, and then what happens is they're not able to receive a no later on in life because no one's ever told them no. Then there's other situations where there's a lot of abuse going on in the house. There's a lot of invalidation. So there's a lot of abandonment happening. And so what happens in that case is no one's paying attention to that narcissist. And so what happens as a child, then their whole focus turns inward. And so their eyes are inward. They're constantly thinking about their own needs, their own feelings. And when their eyes are turned so inward, and that becomes habitual and patternized over time, then they're not able to have empathy and look outward. And they're certainly not willing to look upward and consult God and what He wants for them and what He says as far as relating. So when people are children, yes, there are all of these impacts, and it does highly correlate to someone getting narcissistic personality disorder. It's not a definite, but there's a high correlation. Mm.
And I thank you so much, Lynette, for joining in on this conversation. 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Tisha in Florida, again, I thank you for your patience and your question, please.
Thanks for taking my call. So my question is on the same lines, and I'm so thankful for Scott calling because that like ties into what I want to know. So I just came to faith about 5 years ago, and so one of my family members is a narcissistic person, and they basically raised my children. So that's my question. Can your child, after they're in their grown-up life, be converted to faith?
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's so many scriptures that talk about the power of prayer. You keep praying for your adult children. You keep praying that God puts people in their path that can reveal His love, His instruction. I'm a firm believer that anything the world has to offer or that narcissistic individuals have to offer is not greater than God and what he has to offer. So you pray that God puts people in your adult child's life who can show them the fruit of the Spirit and can invite them into that relationship with him so that they want and they crave his instruction, his love, and they fall at his feet and surrender everything. So I think all things are possible with God, and I believe wholeheartedly and wholeheartedly that God listens to prayer. So just keep praying. Mm.
May that be an encouragement to you, and thank you so much for being a part of the conversation. 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. And let me go to Julie, who's in Wisconsin. Julie, thank you for joining us. Your question, please.
Hi, I have a question. I was wondering, what do you do when you're dealing, it's so difficult, with an adult daughter, someone almost 21, we've gone through a lot for many, many years, and we've gotten to the point now where she's walked away from us, and, you know, I want that door open. I want her for holidays, but really, honestly, even the last holiday, she completely sabotaged Easter. It was horrible, and it breaks my heart. I don't know what to do.
Oh, and that's so hard when it's your child. Oh, my goodness. So if she's estranged, if you're not talking with her, I say you could still build trust with her, and you can still show her what a person of integrity is. So you let her know that you're going to reach out, let's say, for an example, every Thursday. And Thursday, you're going to pray for her. So you're going to let her know that you're going to be praying for her every Thursday. You're going to let her know that you're reaching out to her every Thursday to be praying for her. And are there any specific prayer requests? If she doesn't answer you, she doesn't answer you. But what she's learning is that you're a person who says what you're going to do, and then you follow through with that. You do what you say. And that is creating trust, even though she's not responding. So you're building this foundation, even if you don't get an answer from her. Now, as far as the holidays, if you are talking to her and you're not estranged, you can let her know that you love her and you would love for her to be able to attend these holidays, but under what conditions? What do you need from her in order to have the holiday go smoothly for everybody? You said she sabotages the holiday, so what did she do? And make sure you put that in. If that happens, you will be asked to leave immediately. And then you have to follow through on that. And then maybe she's not invited to the next few holidays. And then maybe you try again four holidays from now. But it's just being very methodical, very structured, talking with a lot of boundaries and structure. And certainly praying and being consistent if you're estranged or you're not estranged. Consistency is key. Mm.
And I thank you so again for being a part of this conversation. Julie, 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Ashley, I welcome you from Minnesota. Thanks for being here. Your question, please.
Hi, I have an ex-relationship with my son's father. When I was with him, I didn't realize how much of a narcissist he is. I knew something was wrong because I felt horrible about myself. In our separation time now, we're raising him in two different blueprints. I'm serving God and walking with the Lord, and he's not. He's actually a Freemason. I'm just trying to navigate this world and how to not feel beat up by him, but he takes advantage of me a lot. How do I deal with all the resentful feelings and all that? What do I do with them?
That's such a great question, Ashley, and I understand your pain. I've been in that situation. I am in that situation. My kids are grown now, but I know that place. And so what you want to do is you want to give yourself permission to grieve, to grieve the loss of what you wanted. You go through that whole grieving process and you get to that place of acceptance that this is who he is. God allowed it, but there is still good that come out of it. So you've worked very hard to understand, okay, Lord, this happened. This is happening. What can I do? What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do as far as serving you? You said that you're walking with the Lord and you're serving at church. Just the fact that you've been through this, you can be a shining light to someone else. Because there are so many people going through it. The divorce rate is just as high in the church as out of the church, which is so sad. But then also understand that you are not somebody, your worth is not wrapped in what you've been through or what you even chosen to get involved in. So I think I put in the first book, this little exercise I would do with clients in session. And so I would bring out a fake $100 bill and I would say, use your imagination. This is worth $100. Can you do that? Yes. Okay. And then I would give them the fake $100 bill and I'd say, okay, I want you to crumple it up. I want you to throw it against the wall. I want you to step on it and just pound it into the wall as hard as you can. And they would do that. And then I'd say, okay, now I want you to go pick it up and I want you to very carefully lay it all flat. And they would do that. And I'd say, okay, now how much is that worth? And they would say $100. And I'd say, exactly. You were given God-given worth the day that God thought of you. And that doesn't change at all based on what you've been through with your narcissistic ex-husband. You are still a precious person with all of that worth. Please don't let him or what you've been through define your worth. Mm.
May you be encouraged, Ashley, by that. So appreciate Laurel. I know you do too. 877-548-3675. Don't forget on our information page at inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. I have a link directly to Laurel's website. Why is that important? Well, if you wanted to go deeper, privately, professionally with Laurel, you can set that up through the website. She talks to people all over the country, by the way. Don't forget on the info page, her books as well. So check that all out. InTheMarketWithJanetPartial.org. Click on the box that says Program Details and Audio. Laurel Slade Wagner is with us. She is a professional Christian counselor in Florida, has a private practice there, been there for about 20 years, specializes in the area of narcissistic personality disorder, which is a very often unrecognized, not discussed issue in the church. And that's why I think, this is just my two cents from where I sit in the peanut gallery, but I think the reason why every line lights up when Laurel comes is because there are so many people who have questions, who want to feel validated, who are questioning themselves. Is it all my fault? Have I done something wrong? So that's why we're so grateful for Laurel and the work that she does and the gift that she gives us of her time and her insight every time she comes. 877-548-3675. Kent, I welcome you. Thanks for being here. And your question, please.
Yes. Let me get my bearings right now. Cause right now I'm going through quite a deal right now. But you know, I'm a 38-year-old man out of West Palm Beach, Florida. Right. You know, I've been to prison as a young man, as a juvenile. You know, I came home, but before I came home, you know, I planned, plotted, strategized, you know, studied, and you know, I got my GED as well while I was incarcerated. You know, and this what I'm saying now is leading up to, you know, my questions about narcissism, because but basically let me fast forward. You know, I come home. I'm you know, I'm grown. I'm behind, you know, and I'm focused on me. You know, not because you know I'm self-centered. I just want to be, you know, alone or whatever the case may be, or I think I'm better, or I think I'm this. You know, it's a simple fact that I don't have anything that is needed for a man like me to actually, you know, feel some form of happy, mm-hmm. you know, at all. So, you know, I've been, you know, trying my hardest to, you know, do the things that I need to do, but I've been getting blocked on certain levels. But, you know, I had a broken relationship, you know, not just with my baby mom, but with family members as well. And the whole time, it's like, hold up, time out. I'm like, I got to be focused on me. Because if I don't focus on me, you know, then who's going to do the things that needs to be done in order, you know, for me to, you know, to live the way that, you know, I want to live or have the things that I need to have to even, you know, to breathe.
Yep. Oh, Kent, let me tell you how much I appreciate your question. First of all, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation, and congratulations on getting the GED while you were incarcerated. And what I'm hearing is a man who's saying, listen, there's some things I had time to think about me and where I needed to change and the differences I need to make. But uh-oh, if I'm thinking about me and the difference I need to make in my life and the changes I need to make, am I a narcissist because my thinking seems to be kind of self-oriented right now? It's an excellent question. Laurel, how do you respond?
It is an excellent question. And there's such a big difference, Kent, between narcissistic personality and being self-focused. So we are called at times, it's even biblical, the Bible even talks about getting our house in order. And so before we're able to pour out to other people, we have to be self-reflective and self-corrective. And it sounds like you're in that phase. You're listening to Christian radio. You're seeking wisdom. You're trying to grow. Even the fact that you got your GED while you were incarcerated shows that you are doing things. Not only are you thinking about things, you're actually doing things to make your life better. That's not what we're talking about with narcissistic personality disorder. There's a stagnation. They don't want to grow. They don't want to change. They're not open to input. Here you are on national radio asking basically if you're narcissistic. That shows me that you're not narcissistic. You have to be self-focused right now because you're trying to transform your life. Now, saying that, a lot of times people need to take a break from dating relationships. If you're not in a relationship, I recommend that while you're in this phase, you take that time so that you can grow and you can focus, and then you'll be able to give someone a transformed person later on. So that's okay to take that time. It's very hard to take that time and try to start a new relationship right now. So I think that you're a man that and thirsting for righteousness, and you're doing the things that you need to do. That is not indicative of narcissistic personality disorder.
Yeah. And Kent, I'm going to ask, because you're talking to people all across the country right now, people who believe in the power of prayer. So friends, those of you who are intercessors, those of you who do approach regularly the throne of grace, if the Lord lays Kent on your heart, would you lift him up, please, that God would really and truly help him to not lean on his own understanding, but to seek the Lord with all of his heart, who will guide and direct his steps, not leave him, not forsake him, and give him the wisdom that he needs. And that's a tough journey sometimes, particularly when you're coming back into a world you haven't been in for a while. And so there are going to be some ups and downs. And knowing that there are brothers and sisters who are lifting Kent up in prayer, even if Kent doesn't get a chance to meet him until you're in glory, I think it would mean much in his life. So again, if you can pray for our brother Kent in Florida, that would be fabulous. I'm running out of time, Laurel, and I've got every line lit. And so let me just go back to the idea of there are coping skills. And I remember so much what you said the last time, which is you don't go from zero to a million, which is I wake up, I realize I've had a narcissist and I'm filing for divorce. That you can do all of these intermediary steps first, and should, by the way, so that you can say that without blemish, you try to exhaust every mean possible. When you are confronted, just as a general rule, and you write about this in your books, which I'm so thankful for that you do, because it's very helpful. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of James to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And when you're put down, when you're minimized, when you're gaslit, when you're criticized, what's a general coping school if you are, in fact, married to someone who's a narcissist?
I would say stay anchored in God's three things. Stay anchored in God's promises and provision of protection. Number two, stay anchored in God's processes in the Bible, like the Matthew 18:15-17 we talked about when we need to confront somebody. And three, stay anchored in God's loving people so that you can have that support and grow and stay calm and keep accurate self-worth.
Wow. So much good stuff there. And I have to tell you, at just these hours, Laurel, go by so very, very quickly, where every line has remained lit. And so my apologies to those who could not get online, but because it should the Lord tarry, and because our dear friend Laurel keeps saying yes, which surprises me tremendously. She has so much she could do with her time, and yet she graciously gives freely of her time by being on this program. So write your question down. When you check the website and you know that Laurel's going to be on again, call in right away, because you do see now how the lines light up. In the meantime, don't forget, In the Market with JanetParshall.org. Click on the red box that says Program Details and Audio. It will take you to the information page. When you get there, you're going to see many, many things. The book that Laurel, books, plural, that Laurel has written on the right-hand side, and a link to her website if you want to connect privately and professionally with her. Thank you, Laurel, so much. Thank you, friends. We'll see you next time.